We pray. Heavenly Father, you who hold the universe in the palm of your hand, come through the intimate presence of your word to bless and sustain us, to lift us in your glory. Bless us now in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The portion of God's word which we turn our attention to, Isaiah chapter 55. A commercial recently caught my attention. I don't even know what they were selling, but it was very clever how they began. It said, "We are a speck on a speck on a speck on a speck on a speck in this universe." Boy, that got me thinking. I missed the rest of the commercial. I wonder, what must us humans look like if someone were standing in the far edges of the universe? Pretty small stuff, huh? Or imagine, if you would, that you have a rocket ship in your backyard and you're shooting it off into space and you're in there looking out your rearview mirror. Whoosh, there goes your rooftop. Whoosh, flies by you Lake Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Before you know it, you can see the entire United States flanked by the Atlantic and Pacific, and all of a sudden, whoosh, they're gone. After a couple days, you're racing past the moon. After a couple years, you've passed Mars. Several decades later, you're actually bursting through the Milky Way, and you're seeing billions of galaxies before you to explore. Wow. And even if you'd go to the far end of the galaxy Andromeda, God would still be there and beyond. Isn't that amazing? As we delve into the reality of what life is all about and the reality of our God, it's truly mind-boggling. It's beyond our comprehension. The more we ponder those mysteries. And yet there they are. It's interesting, when unbelievers come across the mysteries of our God, they have one of two reactions usually. They'll laugh and dismiss it. Oh yeah, sure. Can't comprehend that. Or they'll argue it and then dismiss it. Can't comprehend those deep mysteries of God. That's silliness. Isaiah was telling the Israelites of a deep mystery of God, that because of their rebellion and unrepentant hearts, they would have a miserable 70 years ahead of them. Actually, he was sent 100 years before. That's how much God wanted to warn them. But there would be a 70 years of bondage for them because of their hard hearts, and they, not going to happen. They poo-pooed it away. We don't understand this, and so we're not going to be troubled by it, and we're just going to merrily go on our way. God doesn't really mean that. We're his chosen people. He couldn't possibly be that hard on us. Isaiah was also sent to give them this sweet message. And they obviously met that with cold indifference too. Cold indifference. Seek the Lord. Oh, we do that. Yeah, we're good at that. They were so self-assured, kind of like newlyweds. Oh yeah, we know all there is about love and marriage, you know, when really they don't have a clue. So the Israelites said, yeah, we go to temple, we worship, we say our prayers, we do our religious stuff, we're good with God, we seek him out. And yet they weren't seeking him out. They were going through the motions. But had they truly sought out the Lord as he was calling for them, they may have never had to go through that 70 years of pain and anguish. But Isaiah's words fell on deaf ears. How about you and me? Do Isaiah's words fall on better soil, or just as hard of soil? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek who? The Lord God Almighty. Wow. Beautiful words. They warm our hearts. They say, oh yeah, that sounds like something good. How do we do that? Is that even possible to do? Well, the unbelieving world says, ha, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Total nonsense. And sometimes, we're much more like the Old Testament Israelites, where deep down inside our sinful nature, our heart of hearts, we too say, it doesn't make any sense. Let's say the words, but do little about them. And think very little about them. And then we wonder why we might have 70 years of suffering and pain. The more we analyze why this unbelieving world can't accept the Word of God, the more we might identify our stumbling block in accepting the Word of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The unbelieving world says, that's nonsense. How do we, as weak, finite, puny little humans, dust on this earth, how do we seek out the infinite Lord God Almighty who's beyond time and space, who's beyond the stratospheres? How do we reach up with our puny little arms and seek him out? That's impossible. Are we to take a rocket ship up into space to find him? Are we to dwell inside of our psyche in order to find him? Are we to go to some tent filled with smoke to find an altered consciousness in order to find God? Some people do. But that isn't what God means. Seek the Lord while he may be found. But the Lord lives beyond our grasp. While he may be found and while he is near, the world looks around and says, he can be found? Anybody seen him lately? Where do you look? Is he in the restaurant? Is he at the library? Where would we go to find him? Our eyes don't see him. He seems distant, removed, invisible. Yet he says he's near. Seek the Lord. Aha. People cry out in confusion, the Lord? Which Lord? Which God? America has more gods than Woodman's has groceries. Which one should we go for? Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. The world objects, and our sinful nature objects. How can a person deny themselves? Can we really throw ourselves away? Turn from our own thoughts, our own ways of doing? Isn't that the very stuff that defines us as the people we are? And now we are to turn from it and forsake it? What would we become? Are we to rip our own heart out of our chest and just become some puppets, some robots of the Lord, lifeless, mindless? What does he mean? He will have mercy on him. He will freely pardon him, Isaiah says. Oh, now mercy, mercy we can see. It's good to have mercy for those who are downtrodden, but most of us Americans don't really identify with that. We like to think that we can stand on our own two feet. We're pretty good at taking care of ourselves. We've done it all our life, haven't we? We aren't the pitiful, broken, poor ones that can't fend for themselves, that truly need someone to come with a merciful handout for them, are we? And pardon? What? Are we criminals on death row that we're looking for the governor's or God's pardon so that we're not put to death? Does that describe our existence? The world says this just doesn't line up. We don't feel like we are people who need to be pardoned. Let him turn to the Lord. The world cries out, another absurdity. It's impossible. How can you turn to the Lord if you're supposedly so sinful? Doesn't sin cause a block for us to turn to the Lord? A barrier between us and God, and now somehow we are to turn to him? The world's confused and wants us to be confused and wants our sinful nature to confuse us. They'll even say that God himself spells out a barrier here that is impenetrable. What does God hold up as the biggest obstacle between us and him? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How in the world are we supposed to seek out someone who thinks on a whole different plateau than us? We might be able to see the Milky Way over our head, but we can't reach up and grab it and bring it down to us. How are we supposed to do this? It's way out there, and we're not. We're earthbound. Our feet have to remain on the soil. And what a terrible problem we have. He tells us to seek him out. And if we do not seek him out, we are condemned forever. Beyond this universe and beyond the celestial abode of God, there is yet another existence, and we know that deep in our heart of hearts, and that's called hell. And we certainly do not want to take a rocket ship there. Seek the Lord or suffer damnation. But how can we? We are finite, and he's infinite. We're sinners, and he's holy. We don't understand, and he understands all things. How in the world are we supposed to seek him? When you can't understand what someone is trying to tell you, don't we all have two options? We either consider the person such a simpleton that he can't think clearly, and then we can dismiss what he's saying, or the person is such a genius that he can think more clearly than we can, and then we need to sit back and listen. Well, which is God? Is he such a simpleton, a fool, that we say, oh, don't bother me with your things that I can't fathom. I'm just going to merrily go on with my day. Or is he a genius of all genius, and we need to hang on every word that comes from the mouth of God, no matter how perplexing it might be, to drink it in because this genius really has something to give us. And this very barrier becomes a door to understanding what he's talking about. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And so he comes with his word and says, seek me. How, Lord? How will I seek you? And he tells us that infinite mystery that still boggles our imagination, that he is with us, with his full and free pardon. Really? We're not on planet Earth alone? No. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. There is a mystery, and if we don't understand the mystery, we won't understand his directives. The mystery is that he who dwells in the celestial light, in unapproachable light, he who dwells beyond the universe and holds the universe in his hand, he has come into our world. We could not reach up to grab him and bring him down. He came down to our existence and is right here for us to seek. much like a mother who's playing hide and seek with her 3-year-old daughter, that goes to hide by standing face in the corner of the living room in plain view. Why? To make it so incredibly easy for the 3-year-old to say, "I find you." So how has God made it so incredibly easy, ridiculously easy, for us finite to seek out the infinite? In the very same way he did it in the Old Testament, through his word. For where God's word is, there is God. And he comes and he makes a point of contact with us in our three-dimensional realm, and he does that through his word and sacraments, and no way else. If we seek out the Lord in any other way, we will never find him. We'll have a tent full of smoke. We might have a nice trip to Mars, but we will not find the Lord. And there he does. He presents himself. He is near us through his word. And he says, "You will see me, you will know me, you will interact with the divine infinite as you are reading, marking, and learning his holy word. Seek the Lord by seeking out his word, every syllable. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Ooh. Are we still to deny ourselves? Are we still supposed to lose our identity? Isn't that still impossible for us to forsake who we are and what we are, evil though it may be? Through that contact with his holy word, miracles happen. Just like it was his word that said, "Let there be light," boom, and there was light. So when he speaks to us through his holy word, he creates a miracle, a whole new person inside, a child of God who wasn't there when we were unbelievers. And it's this person of faith, this child of God, this whole new identity that he's created in us that renounces and turns away from its sinful nature, that pulls out the heart of the sinful nature and dashes it day after day, and we will not have mastery over us. It's this new identity that he has created in us that we embrace and hold on to. We are the blood-bought children of God. So forsake that life of darkness. Turn from that life of sins. And what will he do? He will freely pardon. Yes, we were on death row. And that's what his word illuminates for us, that we were by nature sinful to the core, deserving of God's wrath and punishment, not just indifference by the Almighty who dwells beyond the universe, but actual hatred. But notice, he will freely pardon. That very same word that created the universe and our world and us on our world, that very same word that sent out and created faith in our hearts, that same almighty word said, "Go, my son, and bear their sins. I curse you so that they might be pardoned." Be so intimately connected to them that you actually are one of them and bear their flesh and bones. And then I will hang you on the cross and punish you. And I will have you come back to life on the third day to seal their forgiveness and their eternal dwelling. All so that he could have mercy on us broken, battered ones who could not lift a finger to save ourselves, that he might have free pardon for us. And oh, how his word works faith in us to renounce our sinful ways, to truly loathe them as he loathes them, and to have trust that because our Savior has come into our finite world, he has created an eternal blessing through these finite beings here and for us finite beings. And so we are forgiven. We are pardoned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Boy, are we thankful that the Lord doesn't think and act like us. Had we been God, we would have thrown ourselves into the gutter a long time ago. But he comes with his infinite patience and love, and he speaks his word of love into our hearts and lives. He created this world. We are this speck of dust, on this speck of dust, on the speck of universe, not because of some big explosion, but because of his creative love. He called us into this world. He designed us, and now he's claimed us as his own. The height of folly would be saying, I really know better than God. I really have loftier logic. No, if we want to dwell in reality and not fantasy, the point is, God infinitely knows better. And that speaks of how important it is for us to feed on his word. Do not rely on your own understanding, but in all your ways, turn to the Lord. And so he calls us to seek him out by seeking him out in Scripture, not just as an academic exercise or to be theologically sound. He calls for us to seek him out with all of our heart, soul, and mind, so that he could bless us, so that he could wash our sins away, so that he can strengthen us and have his light shine within us, that he might give us all the hope and peace and joy that he has for us. He has such unimaginable gifts waiting for us to be dispensed through his holy word. Blessed is the man and woman who daily search scriptures, counting on the blessing God has waiting for them, that those who seek him who has first sought us, those who call on him and pour out their heart to him, on him who has called us to faith and has written his name upon us. He created us in love. He preserves us in love. And at his great expense, he has still made heaven accessible to us who have fallen into sin. He washes us clean and makes us his own. Does that not convince us that every word that comes from his mouth is there for us to study and inwardly digest? Seek him. Seek him first and foremost, the highest of priorities. If we do not read, learn, and inwardly digest his word, then we are not seeking him, no matter how we may fool ourselves with so much religion. He wants his people to be in his word, all of them, not just the clergy, because he has blessings waiting for every single person who seeks him out. Oh, what life could be like as it's lived in the pages of Scripture in connection with our Almighty God. Blessed is everyone who takes shelter in the Lord by daily feeding his soul on his life-giving word. May that be the blessing that he brings into our hearts and lives. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, you have a holy and good purpose and plan for us, and it all revolves around your word, you speaking and whispering your word into the marrow of our bone. Be with us, dear Lord, and continue to feed us and nourish us, to grow us in your grace and glory, that we might sing your praise in every single day. Now and forever, may your will be done as we seek you in your holy word. Amen.